going. Spectimer remembers things that started and things that never got off the ground on September 10th. He kept us in stitches. Today in 1846, Elias Howe received a patent for his sewing machine. Don't give up on us, babe. In 1975, we said hello to David Soul and Paul Michael Glazer, who starred as Starsky and Hutch when it premiered today on ABC. And on this date in 2002, the Russian Space Agency announced that NSYNC's Lance Bass wouldn't travel to the International Space Station because he failed to come up with the necessary cash. That's back time for September 10th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's the Onion Radio News. A trapped raccoon keeps playing the last 2 minutes over and over in his mind. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A 4-year-old male raccoon trapped in an area dryer vent can do little more than review events immediately leading up to his confinement. The raccoon, which had been foraging for scraps of food when he followed his nose right into the 6-inch wide length of ductwork, has this to say.
I was in the yard looking for garbage and now I'm here. I was in the yard looking for garbage and now I'm here. I was in the yard.
Animal control people have been called in to remove the raccoon and put it in a cage where it will find itself continually replaying a brand new set of recent events until it is destroyed. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
Is my hedge too high, Your Grace?
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Susie. Welcome to Wednesday, September 10th. You know what that means?
It's almost September 11th.
It's almost September 11th, yeah. And I don't know if I want to do anything. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit, but I don't want to bum out everybody.
Yeah, definitely not.
This is not the show to talk about heavy things.
We could be serious sometimes, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we can, but not that serious.
No, definitely not. That's a buzz killer in the morning, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. So, are you getting ready for your trip to Massachusetts?
Yes, actually. Well, actually, that's a lie. I'm the most last-minute packer in the world.
Really?
I will probably pack. My plane leaves at 10:30 next Wednesday, and I don't know, I'll probably pack an hour before I have to be at the airport.
I know, I'm the same way, too. You know, I mean, what's the point in packing a week in advance?
I know. It's like, I might want to wear something, and then I don't know.
Yeah, besides, you know, I don't really like to do it, so I just wait till the last minute and do it when I don't have a choice. That's pretty much how I operate.
And also, if I forget things, then, you know, that's an excuse to go buy new things. And
yeah.
Wait a minute, that's not compatible with my new minimalist lifestyle. Shit.
Yeah, right. Isn't it warm in here? Is the air working?
It's actually not that bad today.
It is working. I don't know. Maybe it's the coffee making me warm. I don't know. But it's really weird weather, huh? I mean, it's like so friggin' hot during the day, you can't even stand in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment the sun goes down, it gets cold.
I know.
And when you go outside, like after 9 or something, you need a jacket. And the same in the morning, early in the morning.
Especially so like really when I do my bike rides, you know, I always start off like wearing something like really like a short skirt and like a little tank top or something. And then you get all sweaty and then all of a sudden you stop riding for a minute and then you freeze.
Yeah.
And then the air actually gets really cold. Then you're just like miserable.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just a head cold waiting to happen.
You bike in a dress?
Yeah.
That's not traditional.
Oh, no, I don't. What about me is traditional, please?
I know, but what is the point there to turn people on?
Well, I don't know. I kind of like the skirt being all breezy. A lot of the girls bike in dresses.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. One ride, I actually did it in full lingerie and a trench coat. I was dressed as a flasher.
That I'm not as surprised as a dress.
But I do not recommend to anyone out there biking in a lace thong. It is really, really uncomfortable.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I don't see the point of thongs at all. I mean, I would not be able to have something up my ass like that, you know?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily go up your ass the whole time. I mean, if you get one that fits appropriately, I mean, it's not like floss, like wedged all the way up there. I mean, it is kind of up there a little bit, but
it's got to go up there. I mean, where else is it going to stay, you know? I mean, it's not going to just stay outside the crack.
Well, it kind of does. I don't know. Certain ones are designed, so, I don't know, they kind of have like a V-shape at the bottom.
I see.
And it kind of just, I don't know, goes up that way. But the whole point of them is so you don't have panty lines.
Right, right. Although, you know, I mean, I've seen women wear them and not for panty line concerns. So
true.
I don't know. I just think it makes women feel sexy or something, you know?
I don't find they make me feel sexy at all. No. I hate thongs.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I only wear them if I have to.
I know. I mean, is that because you don't think they're comfortable or what?
I don't know. I just rather would either wear no underwear at all or have a little boy
or
short.
Or serious underwear.
Yes. Serious underwear. Yay.
I know. You know, I mean, look, with a dress, I can understand not wearing panties. But with pants and stuff, you know, I mean, I don't see the
point. Are you kidding me? With the dress is the only time I usually do wear panties. When I wear pants, I don't usually wear them.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I don't see. Well, I guess you guys don't have something dangling
and
there.
And especially so that vent down at the bottom of the street when we're walking up from the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
There's that huge vent that if you walk over that in a dress, I mean, I do the Marilyn Monroe thing like every day. I'm just like, oh, as my skirt's flaring up around me. It's always funny.
That's why I noticed women avoid that thing and they walk around it.
Either that or they're wearing heels and they don't want to get their heels wedged in the, in the vent.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you a little story about that little, I don't know, what do you call it, a bumper that we had on at the beginning?
Yeah.
About the raccoons.
Uh-huh.
So they were talking about the raccoon being in animal control and everything, you know, because it probably had rabies.
Yeah.
I got rabies once.
Really?
Yes.
From a raccoon?
No, from a woodchuck. Yes, it was not my finest moment.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck chuck wood?
You just messed it up. How much wood could woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Okay, well, that's what I said. I just didn't say it as fast.
Do you know that's kind of like universal?
Yeah.
When I was over in Africa, and I'll tell you, I want to say the
rabies
story.
Yeah, it's like tongue twisters and stuff, yeah.
Well, that one in particular, over in Zimbabwe, they have a whole other one that goes, how much bush could a bush buck buck if a bush buck could buck bush? Which I just
that's
found like...
That's hard to say.
I know. But I thought that was really cute that they're kind of like universal little things like that.
I know, that's cool. So anyway, from a woodchuck.
Yeah, from a woodchuck. So I told you I grew up like every other week as a kid on a farm. And so we always had these woodchucks at the farm that my dog would always catch and kill. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought the woodchucks were the cutest little things I've ever seen. You know, they've got their big little buck teeth, and they just look so cuddly, and you just want to pick it up and squeeze it because it's so big and fat.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I was never able to catch one of these fucking elusive woodchucks because every time I would get near, they would like look at me and laugh and go, hee hee, and then they would like go into their hole and escape me. So needless to say, anyway, I go to my boarding school. It's the first week at my boarding school. It's actually the very first day at my boarding school. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have any friends yet, you know what I mean? Like, and I had long, like, fake blonde hair at the time and long fake nails. And, you know, I looked kind of like the cheerleader I was before I came to this place. And I don't know. I just wasn't really looking the part, and I was kind of nervous. And then all of a sudden, these two girls come up to me, and they were like, do you want to come for a walk with us? And I was like, yay, friends, people like me. This is great. I'm like, yeah, I'll go for a walk. Mm-hmm. So we have to sign out with our house parent. And so we start going for our walk. And the two girls are holding their hands, you know, and walking along.
Wait, is this a cemetery story?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because we need to go back to that. We need to revisit
that. Oh, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, so next thing you know, they're holding hands, and I was kind of freaking out about that. I'm like, okay, you know, girls holding hands, it's a little weird, but whatever.
And you didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. I really didn't know they were lesbians. I mean, I was really, really naive at the time. It turns out the whole school was a lesbian school.
Right. And how old were you?
I was 15. 15, yeah.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, we get to the cemetery, and like they want to go walking through there. And I'm like, okay. I'm still kind of feeling like the third wheel. Anyway, next thing you know, they get like... AJ? Yeah, AJ gets like thrown backwards over a tombstone, and Liz just kind of like mounts her and starts making out with her.
Wow.
And I'm kind of like...
What does it mean, mount her? In this
case. Straddled her and just was like on top of her.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What kind of definition of mount do you
have? Well, because when a man mounts a woman, it's a different definition.
Same kind of thing. Gets on top.
And stick something in.
Well, with lesbians, you don't really have something to stick in unless you're doing the strap-on or you're using your hand.
That's why I was asking. Okay, so she mounted her.
She kind of mounted her, yes. Yeah. On the tombstone.
Killed me over the choice of words.
Yes. Yeah. But so anyway, I was left by myself, not knowing what to do, and I see this woodchuck that was kind of like wandering around in the cemetery. And this was a big, fat woodchuck, just like I always liked. And so he was kind of stumbling along. Mm-hmm. You know, one would think that I would have a little bit more common sense than this, but instead I go over and I'm like, I can catch this woodchuck. Like, you know, this woodchuck's really slow and stupid.
Yeah. No, but wait a minute. What are you doing looking at woodchucks when there's two chicks making out?
I was freaking out. I didn't know what to do.
Oh,
I wasn't trying to avoid it. It was just like, obviously there wasn't really room for a third person. I didn't know if I was invited to join in. I didn't know if I wanted to join in.
Right.
You know, I just kind of felt uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable at the time. It wasn't until a good while later that I actually turned over to the other side.
So
I picked up the fucking woodchuck and I was playing with it. And then they finally saw I was playing with the woodchuck, and we all kind of put our legs together and had like a woodchuck arena in the middle as it's like bouncing like a ping pong ball, you know, in between our legs before the fucker bit me.
Really?
Yep. Couldn't fucking believe it.
Wow.
Like, talk about an embarrassing thing, like the first day of school, like to be the girl that gets rabies from the woodchuck. Trying to make a good impression here. I'm trying to make some friends.
Yeah, they'll teach you. When there's sex going on, you got to be there.
I know.
Fuck woodchucks.
Fuck the woodchucks. But actually, you know what? This was that whole woodchuck incident actually did kind of lead me to meet my first lesbian girlfriend.
Mm. How did that happen?
And she didn't end up being my girlfriend for like another year and a half after that. But I walked into the day student lounge, and this girl, Rachel, who is really cute. You know, I wasn't thinking that at the time. I was just thinking she was a girl, and well, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't have those tendencies. They had to be trained,
yeah.
or learned, shall we say. But she offered me a seat, and I couldn't sit down because I had just had the rabies shots like in my ass.
Oh, wow.
The Department of Health like jams this big ass needle like right in your ass, and it's like maple syrup like seeping into your skin, and you're just miserable and want to cry.
Wow. Now, how did you know you had rabies?
Well, I didn't know I had rabies per se, but the woodchuck, like after thinking about it, you know, was definitely rabid. Mm-hmm. And so I told my house parent that night when she went to check me in. She's like, "How was your first day of school, Susie?" And I was like, "Well, it was good, except, well, you know, the usual." She's like, "The usual what?" And I was like, "I got bit by a rabid woodchuck." And she's like, "What the fuck?" She's like, "There's nothing in the manual. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, oh my God." Wow. She's like, "Okay." So she slams the door. But yeah, so the next day she told the nurse, and the whole health department ended up coming and like quarantining me because apparently rabies can be airborne.
Really?
Yes. And I could just be breathing it all over everyone.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so that was,
wow.
Next time you play a bumper like that, be wary of the story that might come out.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So this girl you met, your first experience?
No, she was actually my second, but she was my first serious lesbian girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, how were you initiated into this? What happened the first time? I mean, you saw these two girls, and what were you thinking afterwards? Did you think disgusting, or did you think, something new, maybe?
You know what? I didn't really think anything. I guess I've always been open to new things, and so I wasn't like judgmental of them, but I also wasn't like initially attracted to it at first.
But were you shocked? I mean, you hadn't seen something like that
before,
I was a little bit shocked.
Right. The only time I had ever really seen lesbians before were like in New York City, and my mom would always whisper as a kid, like, "Those are lesbians," and she would like point them out, or a gay man would get in the elevator, and my mom would be like, "He's gay." I'm like, "How do you know, mom?" And she's like, "Did you see his shoes?"
Yeah.
I was like, "What do you mean, did I see his shoes?" Like,
I know.
Did you hear the way he talked?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Listen, girl, you know, you'll develop a gaydar.
I know. Right? And I totally did, like, thanks to my mother. Initially, I just hadn't really thought about it until the girl that was living across the hall from me ended up having a lesbian relationship. And this girl was my best friend. And so all of a sudden, she's sleeping with this girl every single night. And she's telling me, she's like, "Oh my God, Susie, it's unbelievable. It's so great. The sex is so fabulous. Oh my God, you've got to try it. And eventually, I'm like, no. You know, but I gave in.
Yeah. Besides, you didn't have guys there or anything.
We did not have guys there. We weren't really allowed.
It's almost like being in prison.
Well, it's not that bad.
No. But I mean, as far as no selection of guys, so you have to make to make do with what you have.
It's actually funny because the school's set up, RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, is right across the street from our all-girls boarding school.
Right.
And being a school for engineering, you know, that school is predominantly male. And we were not allowed to look at those dirty RPI boys. Oh my gosh, those dirty engineers. Absolutely not. And they kind of thought we were just freaks over there because the girls like rarely came out to go play with them.
Yeah.
They were like, all these girls like locked up in that castle over there. Like, what are they doing? We must have been like the biggest mystery in the world to those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, so eventually, after hearing that sex was so good with the girl, blah, 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 I finally like broke down and I said, who's left in the lesbian community? you know, because everyone had pretty much paired off at this point.
I see.
And so, you know, there weren't that many left.
Yeah.
And
he must have felt like an outsider or something, no? Or it didn't bother you that
much? Yeah, it didn't really bother me. Yeah. You know, curiosity just kind of got the better of me at this point.
I see. Okay.
But yeah, so then this girl, let's call her Molly. So all of a sudden, like, she was the one that was left, and oh my god, you should see pictures of her now. What a beast.
Really?
Yes. Whoa. I swear, I don't know what happens to these girls. It's like all of a sudden, like, they go from being, you know, not wondering if they're bisexual or if they're a lesbian or if they're straight, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they really realize they're a lesbian and they just like blossom into full-blown dyke mode.
Really?
Oh yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'll show you some pictures on Facebook later, actually.
Yeah. So she's
You'll be
gone
so
butch.
Horrified. She's gone totally butch. Yeah.
Was she, like, feminine before?
She wasn't ever really feminine.
Right.
I mean, I was always, like, the feminine one in the relationships. I always played that role.
Right.
And I still, to this day, like, if I'm attracted to a girl, you know, she's got to have masculine tendencies.
Really?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like, she's got to wear the pants, and I, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I see, okay.
But yeah, so Molly and I just kind of...
But what about with guys? Do you take the initiative then? Or, I mean, I can see
it's
you...
It's weird, because I wear the pants in my relationship with men.
Right, that's why I was asking, yeah. So that's pretty interesting, huh?
I don't know.
Well, but you know what? It makes sense, because you just want to be the feminine one, you know? You want to be the...
But the feminine one, but in control.
Right.
It is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
It's like in one relationship I want to be the girl, and the other one I want to kind of be the control freak, which is usually the man.
Yeah. You see, and that's what I say. I mean, sex is really about control. It's about
absolutely.
Roles and stuff. You know, it's like I think there's always, almost in every relationship, and it can be the same people, but they play different roles, but you have to have the dominant one and the submissive one, sort of.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, that's why I think some women have like rape fantasies and stuff like that, you know, because they want to feel like I'm out of control. I want someone else to control me, you know.
Mm.
And because apparently it's a pretty widespread fantasy, you know. I mean, I've heard a lot of women say that.
Absolutely. But, I don't know if I would go so far, for me personally, like as to say a rape fantasy.
Right.
But definitely, I definitely like someone to dominate.
Yeah, take you forcefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have their way with me. You dirty whore, you. Yeah. So anyway.
You know what I was thinking? I mean, you know, don't kill me for this, but I'm just thinking because I'm thinking if I were a woman, okay?
Okay.
I mean, okay, you love sex, right?
Only recently, believe it or not.
Really?
Believe it or not. It
What's
is actually,
recently, like the 15 years?
I've only been sexually active for 8 years.
Oh.
Only. I guess that's a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, since I was 18, which is right. still pretty reasonable. But for the longest time, I actually didn't really like sex. Mm. I mean, I had it, but, you know, I'd be like, okay. I would get turned on, and I would want to have sex, but then as soon as the sex would start, I'm like, eh. You know, I'm not really into this.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
For the longest time. And then I would use it as a control thing, actually. I remember a couple different relationships I had. The guys were really, really, really sexual people. Mm-hmm. And I just totally used it to control them. And I would... this one guy, Sean, this poor bastard, one of the fiancés.
Yeah.
I would, like, withhold sex from him for, like, 6 weeks at a time. And wow. make him, like, cry and beg and plead for it.
Wow.
And I would just kind of hold it over his head, and I'm like, nope, I'm not in the mood. Nope, I don't feel like it. Nope, you're an asshole. I'm not going to, nope.
He's got to be banging his head against the wall now.
You don't even.
For what he missed out on, shit.
Oh, man. That poor guy. I put him through the ringer.
Yeah.
And back again. Yeah, so sex is definitely an interesting
Well, that's
tool.
What I'm saying. Okay, so the thing is this. I mean, you see a lot of hot guys, and you would have sex with them. So what I'm saying is, why not find hot guys but charge them for it?
But charge them for it?
Yeah. See, I told you, that's why I don't want you to kill me. But, I mean, that's fucking easy money, because you could make a lot of money from something that you do for free.
Yeah, but the guys that are paying for sex aren't usually the hot guys.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
The hot guys, I would assume, would be able to get the girls on their own without having to pay for it.
Yeah, but, I mean, what if somebody doesn't want a girlfriend? What if he just wants sex?
Well, then you would be like Phil that we had in the studio the other day and be a swinger and just go and, like, have sex with lots of random people.
Well, apparently many people don't. Maybe they don't want to get involved that way.
Well, then you find someone else.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet you there's a lot of hot guys that you could... I mean, just ask to see them first. You know, you can be picky.
So you're telling me you want me to become an escort?
A whore. No, I don't want you to. I was just wondering, you know. Because everybody has their price, you know. And
I don't know.
No?
No. Definitely not.
What about $1 million? Would you do it for $1 million? Like, depends
on who it is.
Yeah. You see, that's what I'm saying. But
I would have to actually like the person and want to sleep with them.
That's what I'm saying. So if you did, you'd probably take a couple of $100
too.
But
then I would do it for free.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't even do it for money.
But you can make a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. I mean, fuck, you know, just think about it. If you charge someone like $500 a night or something, or like an hour or 2 hours, you know, that's a lot of fucking money.
Interesting.
That's a lot of fucking money.
I will say at one point.
The reason I asked you this is because it occurred to me that if I was a woman, I mean, it's like, why not do it?
I think you want to be a woman. You say this all the time.
I know, I do. Because I have a lot more to play with.
Actually, most guys say the opposite. They're like, I would never want to be a girl. I love having this piece of man meat in my hand.
Yeah. No, I actually think women have... well, look, I mean, I just think sexually I'd rather be... Well, no, I wouldn't even rather be. I'm curious.
So you want to have both.
I mean, I like being a man. I love being a man, you know. And, you know, but then women, you know, that sense of controlling the sex and stuff is like enticing, you know. It's like, let me control it, you know. Let people stand in line for me and I'll decide who I'm going to take, you know.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it is really funny. Like, women totally have the control.
They control the sex completely. I don't care if it's in a marriage or anything, you know. And even if they like the sex more than the husband does, you know. They still, they control the sex.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So so you wouldn't do it. I mean, let me ask you this. Okay, if you met a hot guy in the bar.
Okay.
Okay. And he wants to bed you, but you don't want to.
He wants to bed you. That sounds so funny.
Right. But you're not ready for something like this.
Okay.
And then you figure, you know what? I would go to bed with him. But I could make $500 in the process, too. You know?
Yeah. Why don't I just let him take me out to a nice dinner?
Because you could fucking make a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't have to work a day in your life. You see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying do it with someone that disgusts you, you know? But someone that you're attracted to anyway, you know?
But then I don't understand why. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but that's okay because it just means that... You're not you don't have a whore state of mind, you know?
Now I have sex because I like it.
Yeah.
Or because I want to have it, not because I need to have it as a means to an end.
No, but okay. Well, you're not getting what I'm saying.
I am.
I didn't say have sex for that. I'm just saying if you're having sex anyway, charge for it. But
France doesn't have any money.
That's why you look for people with.
Oh, I've always had the worst taste in men. I definitely have to say that.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Why is that? Why do you think?
I don't know.
Do you think you don't deserve something good?
No, I've had some. I've had a couple interesting boyfriends that have actually been wonderful, wonderful people, and I've just destroyed them.
Yeah. So that's what it is.
Maybe you can't handle. I need someone that can hold their own against me,
right.
And I just have a very strong personality, and I kind of find a lot of people. I don't know.
But don't you think if you find someone as strong as you, there's going to be clashes all the time?
I like clash.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's clash probably what's good. Happening now with you in France.
No? There's definitely a lot of clash going on right now.
Yeah.
Definitely. I tried to break up with him this morning, and he won't have it.
Yeah.
He won't have it. He's like, you're supposed to be out of this apartment. He woke me up at 6:30 this morning when he came in. Mm-hmm. My alarm was going off in like 10 minutes and he fucking came in wasted. You know the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore?
Yeah.
I swear to God, he sounded like Arthur. He's like, hey, Sissy, good morning, baby. Hi, baby. Yeah. I just want to lick your pussy this morning. It means to lick your pussy. I'm like, I don't want you to lick my pussy right now. No, thank you. I need to get up and go to work. Mm. Just come on, baby. You know you want it. And I'm like, no, I'm breaking up with you. You're never licking it again. Get away. And he's like, no, baby, but I love you. You can't break up with me. At which point, I'm just like, argh! I'm like, yes, I can.
Yeah. So what's the drive to get that fucked up? What do you think? I mean, is there like pain he's trying to cover or what? I understand. Look, I understand drinking socially, getting a little buzz, you know, smoking a joint or something. But to get that fucked up.
I have no idea. And I mean, you know, he's out. I don't even know, like, what he's doing. Well, how can you go bike ride? I mean, I do a lot of these drunken bike rides, too. But, I mean, at some point, like, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, you're ruining yourself. Your eyes are, like, bloodshot and miserable, and you're just making a fool of yourself in front of everyone.
You really are. I mean, you're, like, so out of fucking control, you know? I mean, it's like, how... Yeah, I mean, but, I mean, you just can just imagine how much, perhaps, pain you're trying to cover or...
Well, for him, to a certain extent, I think he's a very shallow, or not shallow, I didn't mean that. He's actually not shallow. I think he's a very shy, introverted person who's been a bit of a loner his whole life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he told me when he first moved to California, he spent an entire year inside on the computer and, like, didn't even go out once. Wow. I was like, are you kidding me? Why move to California from New York if you're not going to go out and enjoy, like, the beautiful sunshine and everything? Mm-hmm. So for him, drinking and getting, like, wasted makes him, like, literally lose all of his inhibitions, and he kind of becomes the life of the party.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the way he looks and the way he dresses and, like, the haircuts that he gives himself and the way he talks. I mean, he's just so ridiculously ridiculous that he's just kind of become this figurehead in the biking community, I guess. And I guess it's for the first time in his life that he really, really, really feels like he belongs to something, and he likes that. But so in order for him to, you know, carry on with his reputation, he's got to be wasted and more fucked up than he was the night before and do crazier things than he did the night before.
Really? So you think it's sort of like to be accepted?
Definitely, definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And also, who he's coming home to me in my wrath at 6:30 in the morning. If he was sober, he would feel all the pain of me, like, trying to kill him.
Yeah, but if he was sober, then you wouldn't get that mad, probably, right?
Well, if he would come home before 6:30 in the morning, I wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
This has been, like, my whole thing. And he's like, I just want to cuddle with you, baby. I was like, well, you should have come home at, like, I don't know, even midnight would have been a nice time to come home and cuddle. You know, 2 in the morning, maybe I would have woken up and cuddled.
Yeah.
You know, but 6:30 in the morning when my alarm goes off 10 minutes later, no. He's like, I just wanted to spend some time with you, baby. Fuck you, I'm going to work.
Yeah. Now, you never worried about all these nights out that maybe he's messing around with someone?
Whoring around?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, if you hang out with people and you get drunk and you party and shit, eventually it happens.
Well, it's with, like, a large group of, like, our friends. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I mean? There's not really opportunity for people to pair off and go and do their own thing. Yeah.
Well, maybe not during, but after. I mean, what's to stop you from going with someone?
My wrath. Yeah. Which you said the other day you did not want to experience ever.
Yeah. So why are you mad that he comes home late like this or early, whatever? Well, I mean, why does it make you mad?
How would you feel if your wife was out until 6:30 in the morning?
Yeah, but that's a wife, you know? I mean, you're used to Franz doing this and you, I mean, you tolerate it, you know? Thing is, my wife, if I did it once, I'd be out of there.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, really. I mean, I think with any married couple, I mean, you don't come home all night. Yeah. That's the end of the fucking marriage, you know, whether you did anything or not.
Okay, I guess the reason it makes me so mad is because, I don't know, I feel like I have a very busy life and I work hard. You know, I've got the radio show and I've got school and I've got the nannying and the bartending.
Right.
And so I feel that I've got like a very, I have a bit of a structured life.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason. And he has absolutely no structure and no motivation to do anything in his life. And it just really, really aggravates me that he spends the entire freaking day in bed. And he, God forbid, I wake him up before he gets 8 hours of sleep. I can't, don't wake me up, Susie. No, I haven't had my 8 hours of sleep. No. And he just like cries and cries and cries about this. God forbid. And you know what? He's just like, I'm sorry, if I get like 3 hours of sleep because, you know, I've got to go to work or I've got to go to school or I've got to do this and that, you know what I mean? I suck it up and deal with it. Okay. But, you know, I'm sick of him being exhausted and tired and like sleeping around and moping around all day, because he's exhausted from partying and drinking until 6:30 in the morning. Yeah. Like, if he were exhausted and needed 8 hours of sleep because he had been working so hard the night before or all day, and he had to pull an all-nighter at the office, you know, because he had a big deal or something going through the next day, then, you know, I would be like, oh, okay, baby, you know, oh, come crawl into bed, come spend the next 10 minutes snuggling with me. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, why did I suck you off, too, because you've been working so hard. you know what I mean? Like, if he had an excuse to be a bum, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You see, you get, like, really mad. And I think relationships are about feeling good with someone, you know? And one time I heard this somewhere, and that is you are with someone because of the way they make you feel about yourself. You know, so when you're with someone, if someone's going to make you feel like shit about yourself, you're not going to want to be with them, you know, and yet that's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing, you know, so, or at least, okay, that's what I'm saying. All right. So, I mean, you're almost like abusing yourself because you want something from a relationship. You're not getting it. So you're getting mad. You know, but it's like you can't. I mean, isn't it easier just to find the relationship you want rather than try to make the one that you have into what you want?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you just, I mean, you know, generally you're such a happy person and everything, but every time you talk about this relationship, you get like really upset.
Like, totally. Yeah. I know.
And you can. I'm telling you, you know this, you could have any man you want. So why, you know, I mean, what does it say about your self-respect, you know? And again, you know, I've got nothing against him. You know, he sounds nice from the way you describe and everything. But you're the one who's complaining.
I know. But now at this point, I'm just kind of like, you know, it's just kind of, I'm stuck at least for like the next, until September 30th, kind of, not necessarily in a relationship with him, but until like I'm officially like into my new apartment, we're stuck sharing the small space together. Right. And it's like, it would be easier if I didn't see him every day on a daily basis to kind of get rid of this relationship and make it go away. But he's officially made himself like a squatter in my apartment.
Yeah.
And made himself like a legal tenant there. just by staying there.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
But you're enabling him. That's the whole point. You're letting him.
Well, at this point, there's nothing I can really do about that. It became like a legal thing. I have to legally evict him.
You open the fucking door and you tell him, get the fuck out of here, and you change the locks.
Trust me, I had the police over once upon a time, and the police told me if I changed the locks that I could be arrested.
Why?
Because he made himself a legal tenant in my apartment.
Really?
So there is document. Yeah, there's. This has been documented. That's why it's like.
Yeah, but you're on the fucking lease, you know? I mean,
it doesn't matter. Tenants have all the rights in California.
But he's not a fucking tenant. That's what I'm saying. He never signed.
He made himself a tenant. If you stay at some kind of location for a certain number of days, and you know, if you have proof, if the neighbors can say, yes, I see this guy here every day, he has legally established himself as a tenant in my apartment.
Really?
Really. I'm dead serious.
Wow.
And it's been documented with the police, you know, that I tried to throw him out once upon a time, and the police were like, you can't throw him out, sweetheart. They're like, you have to go to the court and actually evict him. So
just pack up all your shit and go. Let him stay there by himself.
Oh, but then again, if I let him stay there by himself, he doesn't like respect any of my things, and like he totally trashes.
No, take them.
The apartment is still in my name, right. And if he trashes anything in the apartment, you know, because I'm not there to supervise him because he's a big baby and he needs to be babysat all the time, then I lose my $3,000 deposit.
Not if you say this guy came here against my will and I can't remove him, you know, or maybe so. Yeah, I don't know, but I can't imagine that you'd be held liable for someone trespassing on your own fucking property.
Well, he's not really trespassing, considering I invited him in once upon a time, and then...
Yeah,
well,
but then you uninvite him.
I've tried to uninvite him. He's uninvitable. Like, right from the very beginning, a lot of our mutual friends told me, they're like, Susie, you know that he didn't just stay the night. You know you're never going to be able to get rid of him. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yes, I will. And they were like, no, you will never be able to get rid of him. I was like, yes, I will. Fuck you. And to this day, I see them out, and they're just like, told you so, told you so.
Wow.
And I'm like, ah. And now, okay, so this is my last bit of griping, and then we'll move on. So he has his father coming to visit. So he asked me this, like, 2 weeks ago, or I don't know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And he's like, Suze, he's like, I invited my dad to come visit. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, your father will come out from New York, and you could spend some time with him. Okay, when my father comes to visit, he stays in a hotel, and right. I see him for dinner, and maybe, like, a walk on the beach or something. All of a sudden, he's telling me that his father is going to be living in my apartment for the last 2 weeks of my lease.
I'm speechless.
I'm speechless too. And like, I couldn't, and he's like, I don't even know what to say about this. But so I'm at this point, you know, by the time his father gets here, all of the furniture and, you know, everything of mine will mostly be out of the apartment. So it's just going to be an empty apartment that he and his father are going to be staying in. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to sleep? Like on the floor, on
Let
the hard
them.
Floor?
What do you care? Yeah, you're going to be out of there.
Well,
already.
I care because I'm paying,
yeah, but
2/3 of the rent for his father to come to California and have a vacation on my money. You know, well, what if I wanted to use my apartment in Venice for the next two or the last 2 weeks of my lease?
Yeah, but that's what you're saying.
He's got his freaking father there.
But you're portraying yourself as a victim right now. I would fucking throw them out of there. I would.
But do you understand that I can't legally throw him out?
No,
at this point.
I can't believe that you can't change the locks on
Look
an
up
apartment.
Tenant law.
An apartment that you're leasing. Okay? I mean, maybe if the landlord told you that you can't do it, then you can't do it. But if they didn't say anything, you can. And besides, you know what? Go to the fucking landlord. Ask him what to do. Tell him, what do I do in this case? You know, because I don't want him here. I don't want to be liable for the damage that he does. Maybe the landlord can try to evict him, although they'd probably be faced with the same thing.
He has 3 months to be evicted.
But this is a legal matter here. I mean, it's not even about evicting someone for not paying the rent. I mean, this is trespassing. I can't imagine. Even if you allowed him to come in once or twice, it doesn't matter. It's just like with...
I'm going to establish some residency like in your apartment.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, it's just like someone... it's possible that a husband can rape his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if she says, no, I don't want to, and he does it anyway, despite of the fact that he's had sex with her before, you know, consensual sex, forget about it.
He just doesn't.
You know, it's, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean, and it just sucks. I just feel like I'm stuck, and I just feel like I have to kind of wait this out and just be angry and bitter and resentful for the next for the next 20 days.
But wait a minute. Didn't he get a restraining order? Didn't you get one against him?
It was an emergency protective order from a while ago.
So it was just limited?
Yeah, for 5 days.
For a limited time. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get another one?
We'd have to get in another physical fight again and have the neighbors call the cops.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, make it like...
I feel like the best way out of this is just to wait another 20 days, wait till, come the end of 20 days,
true.
He and his father are going back to New York. You know, I will be officially in my new apartment. I won't have to deal with this at all.
Yeah.
And, oh, actually,
Fuck,
this
I would feel so used, you know? I would feel so used.
I know, I do, and I've gotten
really
to the end of my...
I'm really feeling for you now. Suddenly you're like this hapless victim.
And seriously, like I tried, I was talking to someone the other day, actually, someone that we both know, and he told me, he's like, Susie, you're being passive aggressive. Like when I said I turned off the internet and like that's what sparked one of our other fights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being totally passive aggressive because it's like I've been aggressive. I've said, get the fuck out. He doesn't get the fuck out. And so it's like, okay, you know, I will turn off the internet. I will, you know, take away all of the pots and pans so he has nothing to cook with. I will take away the TV so he has nothing to watch.
Yeah.
I will take away the bed so he has nothing to sleep on. But you know, it doesn't matter. He'll sleep on the floor.
Right.
He'll eat raw pasta instead of cooking it because he has no pot.
Yeah.
I took away the toilet paper. He's using my coffee filters.
What?
You think I'm kidding?
Oh my God.
I am dead serious.
No, at this point, I don't think you're kidding about any
I'm
of this.
I know. I am totally dead. Or I'm totally dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah. I stopped drinking coffee, and so I take the toilet paper away. And next thing you know, I go back, and there's coffee filters in the bathroom. Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
You'll have a story to tell one day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is I was at work yesterday up in Malibu with the family that I nanny for. And they were telling me that we should have, once the Franz is officially out, we should have a panel of judges kind of judge like my new potential boyfriend.
Mm.
Like if I have someone I'm considering dating, like we should put it up on the website and have like our listeners vote.
Yeah, pre-screen them
on whether I should go out and have a second or third date with these people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
But you want people to make the decision for you.
Well, you know what? I'm so fucking bad at making it for myself that I need to relinquish control.
I guess you're doubting your self-judgment.
Absolutely. My judgment has gone so far out the window, I don't even know.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. easygoing.
But if you have me try to pre-screen anybody, you wouldn't get anybody.
Because
I would find something wrong with everyone, you know.
You really
deserve something good. I mean, you're good-hearted, you know.
I know.
And
Thank you. You're
very giving and stuff, you know. And it's a shame it'd be wasted on something or someone like that.
I know.
It really is.
It's only a matter of time. Let the countdown begin.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I figure, you know what? And especially when you're young and people tell you, don't do this or don't do that. It's like, you have to find out for yourself, you know? I mean, when you're young, you don't believe anyone. It's like, you have to go through it and learn it from it yourself.
And it sucks because, like, I do love him, you know, in some weird, fucked up, twisted way.
Yeah. I just think you feel sorry for him. I think it's sort of like a motherly thing that you have.
I am a nurturer.
Yeah.
I do have all these foster kittens and everything
there you
else.
Go. Yeah. You're fostering him.
I'm fostering him.
That's essentially what is happening.
But you know what? Once he's reached the 8-week point, he's supposed to go be free from the nest and go be on his own and eat the food on his own. No, he's still attached to the tit. Still sucking me dry.
Oh, God.
For God's sake.
All right. Well, on that note... We'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Oprah Winfrey, and on today's show, you asked for her, and we got her. The first woman Republican to run for vice president, Governor Sarah Palin!
Thank you, Oprah. And might I just say, what an honor it is to be...
Well, that's great. Thank you for joining us.
But I didn't get...
That's all the time we have for you, Governor.
Hey, wait.
Come on, Oprah, let her speak!
Yeah!
Really? Well, let me put it to you this way. We could listen to Governor Palin, or we could have our annual segment of Oprah's Favorite Things!
Oprah, what are you doing?
Scram, Palin, don't you have some poor defenseless animal to kill? Who wants a diamond watch?
So you sucked all dry.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, we get that. So, all right, so how did it happen? Tell me a little bit about the first lesbian experience, if you feel like it.
It all goes back to the lesbian experience.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, we've been putting it off for a month now.
Have we? I didn't think we put off anything.
We needed to revisit that story.
Okay, here we are. I take it we have a guest today.
Yeah, we do have a guest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so back to... Okay, we'll do a Q&A session.
A Q&A?
Yes, a Q&A. Go.
Okay, forget about that. Let's go somewhere else.
Okay. Wherever you want.
No, I really
want
to know. So so it was that girl that you met that day that something happened.
Well, actually...
You said eventually she became a girlfriend or something?
Oh, yes, Rachel. Eventually she became a girlfriend, and...
But how did it start?
Actually, she ended up getting expelled from our boarding school, and she got sent to another boarding school, kind of far away. And then, you know, one of our friends had told me, she was like, oh, Rachel used to think, or, you know, Rachel always thought you were really, really cute. And I was like, really? She did? Because Rachel was super, super, super cool, like, in, like, the lesbian community, and she was just kind of, like, nonchalant and just kind of like, whatever, you know, I'm super cute, and da-da-da-da-da. And she, like, drove her Jeep, which was kind of like a little masculine twist on things. But I'd had a math class with her before, and so I'd always kind of, like, smiled at her and, like, flirted with her a little bit. Or, I don't know. I don't know if it was necessarily flirting, but looking back on it, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she ended up coming back to school for a visit because she had mono, which she had gotten from another girl that she was sleeping with. I didn't know this at the time. At her new boarding school. So she got sent home to upstate New York, which is where my boarding school was, with mono. Mm-hmm. But so she was feeling better, and she came for a visit at my school, where we ran into each other again. And now that I knew that she thought I was cute, you know, I kind of, you know, heightened or put things into overdrive a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
How did you know she thought you were cute?
One of our friends had told us.
Oh,
a mutual friend had told me.
I see. Okay.
And so then she invited me, you know, to go out to dinner that night, and so I said yes. And the next thing you know, we were in the back of her Jeep, and the seat was down, and we were just going at it.
Wait a minute. Back up a little bit. How old were you at this time? 16 or something?
16. You know, actually, I think I was probably 17 at the time.
17.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys went out to dinner.
We went out to dinner.
And what did you think? What did you, were you going out as friends or did you know something was probably going to happen?
I knew something was up. I knew it wasn't quite friends.
Yeah.
Because when you're going out with a girl and you're just friends, you're not shy and nervous and like sweaty palms. And just kind of like awkward conversations and awkward silences.
Wow. So it was like being with a guy for the first date,
It was like being with someone for a first date. Yeah.
Wow.
It was exactly like that. And sometimes I'll get nervous and I'll talk like super fast and, yeah. I was kind of doing that whole thing.
So you're nervous and, were you looking forward to something happening? At that point, you wanted to experiment or what?
I had already experimented before this point. But Rachel was my first girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Because we wanted to know the first actual sex that you had. But okay, so we'll go back to that one. But this one is the first meaningful one.
The first one. Yeah. Not so good.
Okay.
Molly with the rings in her nipples and...
Oh, God.
Yes.
Not a good way to be introduced to this.
No.
So, so you guys go out to dinner.
We went out to dinner.
What were you wearing?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was
boarding school. Probably like pajama pants and like a tank top. Same thing we always wore.
Because I'm picturing like a fancy dinner and everything.
No,
but then again,
no.
You're 17 years old.
I'm 17 years old. I'm at boarding school. We were very, very, very casual back then.
Yeah.
Very casual. But yeah, I don't know. We just ended up in the back of her Jeep and kind of making out and
Who made the first move? Did she?
She did. She
really?
Definitely did. Yes. I don't know. It was really, really quite nice.
Really.
Just kind of the way she touches everything, and she's just firm and aggressive, but not too much.
Right.
But still, kind of. I don't know.
So how did this? Wait a minute. I need to know what's going on. So you guys went to the back seat. Now what happens? Does she reach over to you and kiss you?
Yes. Well, that happened in the front seat, and we start making out in the front seat.
Oh,
and obviously,
the
center
seat console
got in the way, so right. We moved to the back.
And this is the first time you're actually kissing someone you're attracted to, a female.
Yes. Someone I actually was really interested in.
Right.
Like before, I'd had makeout sessions. We kind of had like a little 5-girl orgy. Just like a makeout orgy kind of crazy looking thing. But that was like once before.
Oh, God. To you, it's like not a big deal.
That really wasn't a big deal.
That would have been the event of my life if I was there. A fly on the wall,
Oh, trust me,
wow.
I know. There are many people that want to see that video.
Yeah, I'm sure. So she reaches over to you and she kisses you.
You really want to go play by play, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I don't know. Do you remember exactly the first time you had sex? Exactly the play-by-play of
everything? Well,
I thought
you would remember something like this. It was a big deal, no?
It was just like kissing anyone else.
All right, so you're kissing, and then what? Fingers?
Yes, fingers, boobs, that whole thing, yes.
Wow.
But no fisting, no dildos, no strap-ons.
No, none of that. Well, you didn't have enough room in the car for that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
But there was oral in the back seat?
Not that first night, no.
Not the first night.
No, definitely not.
So it was pretty much petting and stuff like that.
Wow. Just fooling around.
Wow.
Did
you come?
No.
No?
No.
Were you nervous or?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And then actually we ended up getting in trouble because I forget what happened, but I think I signed out just for like an evening pass to come back before midnight. And the next thing it was like 5 a.m. and like I hadn't come back and the school like freaked out because they thought I was missing and, she was just visiting, so they didn't know I was with her. And I think I had told them I was going to have dinner with my gay uncles that lived in town.
Uh-huh.
And so my gay uncles get the phone call. And this was before anyone had cell phones. We don't have cell phones with us at all times. And so it ended up being like this huge emergency thing. And then I ended up being grounded at school and I wasn't allowed to see her for a little while after that.
Oh, wow.
But it turns out she gave me mono. So, while I was grounded at school and I wasn't allowed to see her, I got deathly ill. Because it turns out, the love of my life, this Rachel, was fucking cheating on me.
What?
With someone at her other boarding school. She was a 2-timing lesbian. I actually, went and sent her flowers at one time.
Oh,
she kind of really broke my heart.
Obviously. Wow.
So, after her, it gets kind of weird because that very first day when I saw the two lesbians, in the cemetery, one of those two girls... I actually slept with after I graduated from my boarding school at her apartment in New York City. And then I haven't thought about her in, 8 years. I really, like, have not sexually thought about her or thought about anything with her. She was kind of freaky, though. Like, she literally, like, brought out, like, the whips and chains and everything
really?
Else. Yes.
Wow.
It was pretty crazy and intense.
Wow, heavy-duty shit.
But I had a dream about her the other day that I left Franz for her.
Oh, really?
For that girl in particular.
Wow. Aren't dreams weird?
Dreams are so weird.
Sometimes you go back to people that you wouldn't in a million years think about.
I know.
It just comes out. Wow.
You're poking my subconscious on all these different levels.
Maybe
I was meant to be a lesbian again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so.
You like guys too much.
I'm not opposed to it. I just need to find the right person, but I need to find the right guy or girl out there.
Right, right. Okay, we'll be on the lookout for you.
You need to be.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do something on the website. We'll start having people apply for a date with Susie.
You have to have a job.
Yeah.
A job. And maybe a job.
And a place to live.
And a place to live that is preferably not a box or a bike shop. And let's see. You cannot like box wine. And what else? Oh, you have to brush your teeth and bathe. That was another thing this morning. Franz came in and I was like, what the fuck have you been drinking? Like, the apartment, he opened his mouth and it was just instant, you know, like stale alcohol. And I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up.
How disgusting.
And so he starts crawling up into bed. I was like, I put my foot right in his face. I was like, don't even think about it. I was like, you are not getting in my bed until you brush your teeth and take a shower. I showered last week, Susie.
No, he really said that?
He did. He really said that.
Now, what does this say about you, Susie, that you go to bed with someone who's not showered?
Well, I don't go to bed. I go to bed by myself, and he's out whoring around.
No, you have sex, I mean.
I usually make him shower first.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. The not showering I can handle more so than the not brushing the teeth.
Yeah.
That's just really nasty.
Yeah.
That's just unacceptable.
I mean, after you don't take shower for a couple of days and you sweat, I mean, it becomes so stinky. You know, these people sometimes on the street, you'll walk and you get a whiff of these people that haven't showered in a few days. It's like, ugh, like a dead monkey.
But on the flip side, Janique and I were actually telling you the same thing. I dated someone back in college like 8 years ago who didn't shower for 30 days straight. And, like, we didn't know this at the time, because after a while, your body, like, kind of, like, starts recycling itself, and it just kind of goes into, like, a self-cleaning mode, kind of. I don't know if it's some new, like, Jetson space age.
Yeah, where have you heard of that one?
No, I'm serious, because, like, really? His hair didn't look greasy after 30 days of not showering. I mean, he would get all sweaty after playing soccer, and then I thought he was just, like, his hair was wet and sweaty from showering.
Mm.
He seriously, like, threw us all for a loop. It was actually pretty crazy. But his body, like, eventually started, like, cleaning itself because he wasn't showering. So maybe you can reaches a point.
Self-cleaning body.
It goes into self-cleaning mode,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
but definitely after two or three days, definitely nasty.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But can you believe that? I showered last week, Susie. Like, I'm clean. I'm like, you just came back from a 12-hour bike ride. Reek of booze. I was like, there's nothing clean about you. He's got writing. He wrote directions all over his arm from his wrist all the way up to his shoulder. He's still wearing his bracelet from jail, from when I bailed him out of jail 6 months ago.
Really?
Still wearing it. His jailbird bracelet.
Oh, man.
I actually invited him in to come and do the show today because I thought he would be hysterical in his prime form.
Yeah, in his stupor.
Yes, in his stupor, but he declined.
Oh.
He did definitely decline. Yeah.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to be paraded in front of the world either.
Oh, God. Well, he needs to suck it up and come in sooner or later.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, actually.
Oh, I'll make him.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
But you may not have any control over him anymore once you move out.
Hmm.
You
know? Good point. Good
you
point.
You lose your leverage there.
I don't know.
You hold the sex. You hold the pussy, you know? He'll need to come back.
He's not getting that anymore.
No?
Nope. Done. Well, I'm done. I am done.
Close the doors, huh?
Yes. Actually, I was doing that this morning. Like, I had my legs, like, raveled shut, just kind of, like, my ankles wrapped around each other. And he's like, come on, I just want to lick your pussy. And he's trying to, like, pull my pants off. But, like, I have my legs, like, wrapped together so tightly, like, he couldn't get them undone. He was freaking out. He's like, let go. He's like, stop doing that with your ankles.
Yeah.
Open your legs. And I'm like, no, don't touch me.
Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Good morning, Mr. Sam. Shalom, Susie.
Hi, Mo. How are you?
Good, Mo. How are you?
You know, first of all, when you were talking about the shower, actually, there were one story in Iran that this true story in Tehran under the terrorist government of the Ayatollahs. I mean, this lady, she married with this man, and this man would not took a shower for a year. So,
Wow.
And then he was so stingy, and then finally the woman asked for divorce with him in the terrorist court of the Ayatollahs.
And was it granted?
Repeat again, please.
Was the divorce granted?
Yes, but then the Ayatollah who was in charge of the divorcing gave her a special number, backdoor channel, and said, no, you come now work for me as a prostitution, as a sigha, you know, temporary marriage that they have.
Yeah.
So she got a new job.
So you're saying I have no choice but to become a prostitute.
So,
No. I'm not saying about that. I'm talking about that story.
I'm just kidding, though. I know.
I know. You're the good. You're number one anyway.
Yeah.
So,
Mo, you sent me an email and you said you were joking. You thought I fired Susie or something? Or you were just joking, right?
No. when she was late.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
and then I thought, oh my gosh, maybe somehow things gets a little bit out of hand.
No.
And she don't see Susie anymore. I said, no, Susie is a bread of this radio. So yeah. Basically, Susie should stay for long time.
Yeah, are you kidding? I love Susie. She's not going anywhere, man. Even if she wanted to.
I know. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I just had some. I was just joking with you anyway about it.
Good.
But I mean, you know, because we are friends, and joking, but no.
I thought I was going to get fired too, Mo, for coming in late 2 days in a row. I was only 5 minutes late, but I made up for it today. I came in super early.
Yeah.
5 minutes
like two
early.
2 minutes before.
So that's good. That's good because you don't want. Yeah, that's true. I mean, many companies. I mean, if you go fire. I mean, I was working for one year. United States government subcontractor, which they were so nasty to all of us, and we had access to LexiNexi, which we could pull up all the information about all the people that we supposed to collect money, and we could find every details about them from the date of the birth up to today, and where they work, who's their neighbor are, and whose cell phone they're talking to, who are the buddies in the cell phone,
and how many times a month they showered.
Yeah, exactly. But because they were so nasty to many of us, we all quit from it within a 2 months period and say hell with it, because they keep putting pressure on us, says you have to bring this much money into the company, blah blah, and we find the people and people change their telephone number. So it takes 3 months for LexiNexi update the new information with the new number telephone, and if they're not listed, so you would never able to find their telephone number. Then we had to call their neighbors, and there was a lot of hassle.
You're a stalker.
Mo, the story is a little too long. I can't keep up.
I know. So anyway, there is the LexiNexi and our other system that they know everything from. I mean, which, for example,
Big Brother's watching.
Big Brother's watching so bad. I mean, that's.
I've missed his conspiracy theories, you know. It used to be Mo would tell us that all the time, but now he's like, he's got a variety of topics.
Mo, do you know anything about cloud seeding?
Crop
No, cloud.
No, cloud seeding.
Cloud.
Uh, cloud seeding, or are you talking about chemtrails? Or
yes,
what?
Yes.
The chemtrails.
The chemtrails.
Oh, don't get him started on the chemtrails. Mo, oh, you've said enough on the chemtrails. I can't sit through it once again.
No. Yeah, she's right. I mean, you look at your skies. I mean, actually, NBC reporter, Channel 5, was the very first one who went after chemtrail, and he had 3 consecutive shows on that. If you Google search NBC chemtrail, and you will see all the 3 parts on the Google, or the other one, the YouTube, both of them are there. And also you put CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, just put CBC chemtrail. I mean, their reporter also went after chemtrail too.
Yeah.
And so it's all over.
Well, but since you brought it up, you know, I've seen it in several places, so I guess you have something there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, Mo, we have to cut it short because our guest is in the studio. So we'll talk to you again soon.
And Mo, thank you. Thank you for the advice about getting a divorce and becoming a prostitute.
There you
okay,
go.
Shalom.
Bye, Mo.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh, I love Mo. You know, he's just really cool.
He cracks me up every time I hear his voice.
Yeah.
I thought it was someone calling in and doing an imitation like the first 3 times he called. I didn't know he
really
spoke like that.
Yeah, I know. It's a very heavy accent. But his English is pretty good. I mean, he's got a good vocabulary.
What country
he's
is he from? Iraq?
From Iran.
Or Iran.
Yeah.
Ah.
And his accent is very heavy, but he knows what he's talking about, especially with all the conspiracy theories. I mean, you wouldn't believe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was so funny. How about the guy who didn't shower for a year?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Is that where I'm headed?
No, you got to take a break with that. Anyway, we're going to take a little break to get our guest all settled in, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, kids, want to play vice president? You can with the talking Sarah Palin Barbie.
I have more experience than the Barack Obama doll.
Yes, talking Sarah Palin Barbie is the surprise pick of the campaign toy season.
Let's put my hair up in a bun.
You can have hours of fun on the campaign trail with her partner, talking G.I. John.
Give me a hug, Sarah, but not too close. And no kissing or people would think we're Democrats.
It's the doll that will bring real hope and change to playtime. Talking Sarah Palin Barbie.
I just shot a moose.
Sarah Palin's Bridge to Nowhere sold separately.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this life. There's something about the way you look tonight. There's something about the way you look tonight.
news in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. And Susie's breaking everything here.
I am not breaking anything.
You're not?
I'm just playing with the cord and fidgeting like I always do.
Oh, okay. All right, then we have, of course, our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And please introduce yourself.
My name is Bentley. I'm here to do some wacky voices, possible impressions. I'm really kind of freaked out, though. This is you know, 36 floors, and I'm looking down out over the city. It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't it nuts?
Yeah. We don't often get to see LA from this high, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little disconcerting.
Is it really?
I was looking up at the building, and I sort of got knobbly kneed looking up. I'm like,
really?
36 floors.
Do you have a fear of heights?
Not really. Kinda? A fear of heights. Yeah. Like, more, like, I don't mind being up high, but it's just like when you look down sometimes, you're just like,
I know. Well,
you get that feeling in your
stomach. Why you shouldn't be looking down.
Like, I don't want to fall over.
Yeah. No, this view is supposed to be enjoyed, not feared.
What a terrible way to die. Just falling, going, I'm just going to hit any second now.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I
Sounds
can't imagine.
Cool. Sounds cool. Well, you're bringing grim thoughts to us already.
Hey, you know, keep them down early in the morning. That's my theory.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Bentley?
I am from Oregon originally.
Ah, very nice.
Oh, cool. We just had someone calling from Oregon.
I like Oregon.
And so did you grow in the city or on a farm or... What the fuck is so funny?
She likes Oregons. Like...
I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's good.
I guess I missed it.
You missed it.
I missed it. Go ahead.
I grew up in Bend, Oregon for like 2-3 years before it became the big sprawling metropolis that it is now. And and then I went to Salem, the capital, and basically I was just sort of inner city. God, now it sounds like I'm mobbing people. No, but just like, you know, in and around the small city.
Yeah.
Salem's great because it's got like the convenience of like a big town with the mall and couple different malls, movie theaters, all that kind of business, but it's still only like 150,000 people or something like that. So it's,
wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I lived in Vegas and it was 150,000 people. That was in the 70s.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's cool because the town is empty, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no traffic jams, there's no nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So at what point did you decide to move to LA?
I went on tour with this band and I got away from Salem for like 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and everybody was just weird to me. Like, they were the exact same and I just had this awesome like life-altering experience. I was like 25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'd been away and done other stuff, but that was like the longest I'd been away, and I was sleeping in a van and like mobbing Walmart Supercenter parking lots. You know, we drive 15 hours and then go hang out there. Let me tell you, there's a $3 sandwich you can make with a day-old loaf of French bread, 48-cent lunch meat, and then like free condiments.
Wow.
3 in the morning.
You could do a lot with condiments.
Yeah.
What
is it with all these homeless people I'm hearing about?
You can make tomato soup out of ketchup and hot water.
Absolutely.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You get a little hot pot or something like that, or like a little place to plug in your hot plate and just...
Yeah.
You're golden.
Absolutely.
Sounds
she
depressing.
Knows. She knows. God.
Yeah, she's
I've
probably
got you on my team.
Too.
We can just bring everybody down.
Yeah.
You should have heard the conversation before you came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it was something about you breaking up with somebody, it sounded like, by the tail end of it.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Something like that, yeah. So when did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. in March of 2007. I originally came down here to go to music school, Musicians Institute, and then I kind of ran out of money because it's fairly expensive, and I made a list back in February of, like, 10 to 15 things I could do to make money, and voices was one of them. It's something I've always been super interested in because my dad's in radio back in Oregon, and he's always done silly voices, and
cool.
It's just something that sort of comes by naturally, and then also playing drums and teaching tap dance. So
cool.
I wonder how you got into the tap dancing.
I went to New York when I was 16 with one of those things with like your high school drama group where you go for a week and you see all the sights and all that sort of business.
Okay.
And I was there for 98 New Year's in Times Square, which was awesome. Snuck out of my hotel to hang out with that. And I went and I saw this drumming. I saw this thing, like they've got like a commercial thing or whatever that you watch in your hotel room and it shows like all the shows playing.
Yep.
And Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk was playing.
Ah.
And, but I kept seeing the part with like the bucket drummers that they're yep. drumming on each other. And I kept hearing the rhythms, and I didn't think it was a tap show. And I went there, and then, like, you know, in the first 10 seconds it opens up, you're like, oh, tap dancing. And I was like, this is awesome. Because my dad watches, like, all those old movies anyway.
Yeah.
And so, so like I was
singing
like,
Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, exactly, Singing in the Rain. The studio I teach at, that's actually the intermediate class. That's the recital piece they're going to do the song to.
Really?
That's the one they picked.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I get to recreate some of the steps, but he's really good. But I came home, I had a purple mohawk, and my mom's like, I was in New York. I was like, it was awesome. I need to learn how to tap dance. She's like, yeah. All right.
Somehow I don't see you as a tap dancer, but yeah. You know, what you know. So, but so have you been able to find some work doing voice work and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's really interesting because, like, everybody that I've talked to or something like that, they're always like, it's a hard business to break into or, like, you know, living down here for a while, you know, you just tend to meet actors and you tend to, you know, meet.
No way.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like you can get, you know, friends that have done things or that have been in things that you've seen or something like that. And like, and I, because I'm like, I'm friends with a couple of people that have been in some stuff. And I'm just like, which is weird for me, but at the same time, they'll both pick, yeah, you know what? Voiceover can be hard to get into because it's such a small community, and if they've right. already got a bunch of people, but I'm like, yeah, but that's the same thing with anything.
Yeah,
I mean, if
you're good, you know, people yeah. will notice you.
And so it's just mainly Craigslist, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. if you check out, I'm pretty religious about it. There's about two different sections for voices that I check about 6 to 7 times a day, which is why I'm here today. And you know, go Craigslist.
Yeah.
And then,
that's how I'm here. Well, that's how I got this gig.
Yeah, that's how we all got here.
Yeah. And then I don't know. And then there's always just stuff.
Yeah.
There's always just tons of stuff. And most of the time it's like student stuff or you know, $100 paying gig or something like that. Yeah. And I mean, my thoughts, like if you can get like 3 or 4 of those, I mean, that's anywhere from $300 to $600 depending on how much it pays. And that's my rent right there.
Nice.
$500. So.
Nice. Where the hell do you live for $500 a
month? I know, right?
Oh, well, I've got a roommate.
So. Oh, you got roommates.
You need another one?
That's what I figured.
I don't know. Do you want to sleep on the floor with me in the living room?
Sleep on the floor? No, I need a bed.
Oh, yeah. I've been sleeping on a rollout mat for like a year and a half, like one of those egg carton things.
You must have a great back.
I do. I do a lot of stretching. There's a lot of stretching involved.
Very nice.
Wow. Every single day. A lot of morning stretches, evening stretches. But
I guess you have to if you're on a mat.
Yeah.
Get a little stiff.
It actually pans out, though, because I can't sleep in beds now. And kind of doing the tour thing before that, I was sleeping in a trailer, the band's trailer they were pulling. They uh-huh. had like a little space up above that was wood, so I just got used to sleeping on that.
Wow.
It sounds kind of like a coffin.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was actually kind of creepy the first couple of times I woke up, and I was like, where am I, you know? Because it was all dark in there, and I had to, like, knock the door open. I actually knocked it into this. I knocked this fucking car's window off the first time because I opened the side door to the trailer.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, 10 in the morning by this point, so Walmart was getting pretty full in North Dakota. And just window right off, and I was like, oh, shit.
Don't you hate when that happens? Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
So if going back to voices, then, mm-hmm. Have you done this? Has this been something you like to do from an early age?
Yeah. I remember I was, whatever, Reagan was in office, so what, it was like 88, 89 or something like that?
Between 82 and 90.
82 and 90.
Right? Or was it, hold on, 88, yeah, 80. 80 and, okay, Reagan
was
80 and
like
84.
Reagan was in there, and then Bush Sr. was in there, and mm-hmm. my dad, for whatever reason, did both of those, and on the old answering machines or whatever, the tape ones or whatever, he would record those.
Mm-hmm.
He would record, like, Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., like, together,
uh-huh.
and I'm, like, a little, you know, 7, 8-year-old kid, like,
listening
to it.
To do
I think it's
voices?
Funny, and so, yeah, uh-huh. I'm all... Hey guys, you know, as awkward as it is, my voice was once that high, but it's just like, yeah, you know, I'm like, hey, and then I'm sitting here trying to do like, I'm like, well, mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan, you know, and I'm like doing this, like trying to imitate my dad. And then I think the first voice that I actually got was the, how old are you?
26.
26, all right. Same age as me, that's good. Although I'll turn 27 this Sunday.
Ah, happy birthday.
My knees.
yeah, you're very old.
I know, we're pushing 30, both of us. Yeah.
Life with Louie, do you remember that cartoon?
Life of Louie.
It was like Louie Anderson about his when he was a little kid, and it's a cartoon. It was on Saturday mornings, like right after X-Men or something. That was the first voice I did was the kid Louie Anderson or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. And I used to do it to make my little brother laugh because he'd be sitting there. And he'd be like, you know what would be funny if he said this? Or he'd say a line on TV and my brother would laugh, and so I'd just repeat it back.
Yeah.
And
now obviously, when your voice changes, you start having to do different characters.
Yeah, but my dad and my grandma are both excellent singers. I can sing and carry notes, but it's not something I've ever really chosen to, you know, go down that path as a singer very much.
Right.
But so I got good pipes, so mm-hmm. I can.
You have many octaves you can do.
Yeah, I can still do like the higher voices, like and a lot of the voices from when I was a kid, and then, mm-hmm. you know, I love to mess with cats.
Me too.
Yeah, you're just kind of
kids
like,
and cats.
Exactly. And there's a baby kitty that our manager has in our apartment building that every day it's always sitting like on something looking out the window because she's gone.
Aww.
And so I'm just like. And it's always just like looking around and like starts pawing at the window and stuff. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Aww.
So without further teasing our listeners and us, let's hear some of the voices.
Sure.
Which ones do you do? Do you do like a variety of them? Several?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of original voices that I like have on my voice reel. There's a show that I work for that I do about 10, 12 characters on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that a cartoon?
It's going to be an internet. It's going to be like an internet radio show. It's mm-hmm. going to be like a podcast. But
I see.
It's going to be like the old like radio dramas type of thing, only right. more modern or whatever. But there's a bunch of different voices I do on there. There's like there's this guy called Toke. And you can imagine why. And and he's just like the guitar player guy that works at like we call it Music Center, but you know it's Guitar Center or whatever. And
yeah.
I mean, he just pretty much sounds like this. And he's always like, "Yeah, man, that's awesome." There was this one time I wanted to get this tattoo, and I had like a wizard holding an orb, and lightning was shooting out of his hands, man. And then the lead singer of the band's name is Gavin, and he just. Kind of talks like this. He's like, yeah, it's kind of like Surfer Dude meets like Sylvester Stallone a little bit. He's just like, yeah, no, yeah, I sing for this band. It's it's pretty sweet. No, me and Toke, we're gonna go get that tattoo. It's gonna be
no, it's gonna be awesome, Gavin. We're gonna get the tattoo. And it's gonna be all up and down our arm.
Yeah, I got a pretty big bicep. It can go on. Get the lightning bolts. And then there's Pete, the bookstore owner. He runs. It's called. He's a little Canadian man, so he doesn't realize it's a. It's this is a bad title for the name of his bookstore. It's called Pete's Magical World of Adult Books, and it's not pornography. It's just he sells classic literature, and he doesn't sell anything for children.
And he doesn't know it.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
Oh no,
he doesn't understand that. That's like he made one of our. I'm also a writer on the show, and so he makes one of the. The characters make a sand wear one of the sandwich board things. It says mm-hmm. "Pete's Magical World of Adult Books." Everybody's coming.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And but you know he's very high. He talks up here like this. He's like, "Oh hello, no, hey, thank you very much for coming in today to Pete's Magical World of Adult Books." Oh no. And you know people are always like, "Oh my God, this is going on." There's another character we have called Homeless Pacino that. I stole him from Hollywood Boulevard. It's not a guy who thinks he's Al Pacino. He thinks he's every character. He's Al Pacino's every play.
I see.
But he mainly talks in a Scarface voice. And so mm-hmm. like Homeless Pacino comes and he's like, "Hey, man, you want some Killer Bee insurance?" He's like, "Oh, Killer Bees? Are they coming?" He's like, "Oh, no, they're coming. They're going to come up over the border. They're going to hit the border from Mexico and they're come up and fucking sting your ass. That's up to you like 15, 20 bucks, anything you want, man." He's like, "Oh, I think Killer Bee insurance is going to be a good thing. I think that can be a very, very, very good thing to have." You know,
yeah.
I mean, those are just some of the voices on yeah. on there, but it's...
That's a good Tony Montana, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
It's pretty good. So, yeah, so can you do some voices
really
that...
That's really cute. I want to listen to this.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you guys know when it comes out. We're going to be doing a rough record this Saturday of the first four episodes, and then we're going to go in and start probably recording episodes and editing them together all of October. So I'll definitely let you guys know.
Cool.
So what kind of famous voices can you do for us?
I could do...
Good impressions.
Well, okay. Well, we'll go back to one since I started already did it. We'll do Stallone, where he's just like, yeah, you know, I mean, maybe a fight problem, maybe I won't, you know? Adrian! We're on LA Talk Radio. I mean, we got Sam, we got the girl who got her heart broken over here. She's dying over here. She's dying.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. And yeah, you can do that because you have the deep voice, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, there's a sketch that my friend and I did that we did live on stage last Christmas, and it's... we've got our own little performance group called the C-Squirt Squad, and it was called The Very Presidential Christmas, and the character's name is President Tush, mm-hmm. and and basically it was sort of like a War of the Worlds type of thing, mm-hmm. in the sense that Santa Claus, and we're going to do it again this year, only we're going to do it on the internet, Santa Claus and his elves attack Christmas Day, mm-hmm. and they're taking over the world.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, President Tush gets on the air, and, you know, to reassure the American public, he's just like, "My fellow Americans, Santa Claus, old Saint Nick, that holly jolly son of a bitch, his tyrannical tandem taunts of terrorism are going to be no more once old President Tush gets on the jab." You know, and just goes off and on, and like, and he doesn't realize that, you know, at the end of the day, Santa only has powers on Christmas, and so he thinks he's defeated him.
Yeah.
But he hasn't defeated him. He's going to be back next Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to do Bush, though, huh? I mean, I've yet to hear somebody do, like, a really good Bush, you know, that's convincing. Because he doesn't really have a distinct voice, I think, right?
Yeah,
or he's a way got, of like, speaking.
Well, I think it's more just that people have... Like that's not a very accurate Bush impersonation. It's a very funny caricature of him,
right?
And I think that's what most people go for because of popularity of stuff, you know, like SNL, like, you know, because they've got like three different guys. Will Ferrell used to do it, and then like two other guys would also do it as well, depending on how intelligent or how, you know, Will Ferrell's was just really comedically stupid. Like, he's always doing something physically funny with it as well,
right?
So, like, it's never something that I've sat down and, like, studied footage of to, like, really learn the voice. It's just something I sort of kind of developed.
You pick up, yeah. It's just that I noticed some presidents are easier than others, like Bill Clinton.
Everybody
did him well, and Ronald Reagan, you know, and and that. But yeah, like the senior George Bush, you know, nothing distinct there, and the same with his son, you know.
Yeah, Dana Carvey did a pretty good George Bush senior.
Yes, he did.
And basically, my dad's impersonation of Bush was just based off of Dana Carvey.
Really?
Yeah,
so. Cool. Who else? Who else?
Can see, I recently rapped as Barack Obama.
Oh no!
Let's hear that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the rap because it's just fucking terrible. But. But Barack is like, the thing with me, like when I actually listen to voices and study, like I have to pick up like a speech pattern with him. And since he's from Chicago and sort of like up in the Midwest, excuse me, that's that naked juice right there.
Gets you every time.
Exactly. You mix it with the Mountain Dew afterwards to wake up, and it just doesn't pan out.
Oh, no.
but yeah, he's from that Midwestern, but also still like up top. Sort of, so it kind of has that that Fargo sort of thing in there, don't you know? And that, but so he has some of that, just like a tad hint of it. And since he's very, very intelligent, and he's, you know, he's very well spoken, and so, you know, that's why he enunciates very, very well, and he cuts everything off, and he talks very much, you know. But then his R's are what does it, like that's like the Fargo sort of thing. So he'll just be like, "My fellow Americans, Barack Obama, a approves this message. You know, he does mm-hmm. this a lot. He's gesticulating with his hand a lot. So it's like a body thing. And like, like you learn it. It's a newer voice that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically, like, I go onto YouTube and like, we'll watch speeches.
Uh-huh.
And it freaks my roommate out because I'll be sitting there with headphones on and he'll be hearing my voice. And then like, he'll hear me through the course of like a 10-minute speech or something. Like, turn really creepily into the voice, and like sometimes I won't hear him come home or something like that, and then like I'll take off my headphones. He's like, that was one of the creepiest fucking things I've ever heard seen. I was like, well, he's like, you're just sitting there like talking to the computer screen, and then like your voice, I hear it change, like the subtleties and the nuances as you get it. And but yeah, I usually like when I do it, like if I'm going into somewhere, I have something like brought up for me on YouTube so I can sit there for a couple minutes and kind of get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can, obviously.
Yeah. Are you able to do voices that are far from your deep voice, like that are pretty high?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, there's like a little kid that we have in one of our sketches that's supposed to be like, I'm really, really big into like the 50s and like radio and early television just because my dad, and so like a lot of that stuff sort of has that sort of feel to it when we write stuff,
right?
But
he's a little kid and he talks up here like this. He's like, oh gee, Mom, it would sure be great if I could get a snack after mowing the lawn.
You know, I mean, yeah. he
it's so funny hearing that, and then you go back to your regular voice and it's like, you know I can't even go that low.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the voice too. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like Pete from our show. Like, I mean, he's easy to do because it depends on how you relax your throat. Like, mm-hmm. there's specific voices. Like, I don't do a lot of specific high voices just because there's usually somebody else that has a normally naturally right. higher voice,
exactly.
Or there's going to be a female that's like involved with the show or something like that. So we mm-hmm. usually give it to them,
right?
But I mean, I can. It'd be like, you know, if you want to have me back and you want to give me a list of voices or something, mm-hmm. I can learn for you next time.
Yeah, okay, cool. That would, sounds
I
cool.
I totally, you know, do my best, you know, give me a few females or something like that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you're able to, like, listen to people talk and sort of pick up the speech patterns and the voice and everything, huh?
Yeah.
Can you do Julia Child?
If I heard her. I don't specifically remember what she sounds like.
And today we're going to be baking an apple pie, everybody.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, I think he got it. So.
Yeah, he got it down.
I used to watch her when I was a kid, and my mom would see me sitting in front of the TV mimicking her. And so I'm like, and Mother, for breakfast today, I would like to have 2 eggs scrambled, and then I would like some wheat toast dry. My mom's like, oh my God, you're 4. Stop talking like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. So, so what type of voice work do you do? I mean, do you do commercials? Do you do?
I've
obviously you do that thing on the internet that you
yeah that stuff. But then I've done stuff for like student films where I've narrated a horror film type of thing where the scroll is going up the screen saying exactly what I'm saying, but they wanted, you know, in a world.
Yeah,
you know, where babies die and then come back to life. You know, that sort of thing. And then I did some zombie like noises and weird like demonic sounds. I usually get like really evil shit,
really,
because of my voice. Or like I used to have a laughs reel up on my website as well, mm-hmm. where there was just a bunch of weird different laughs I could do. Really? Like, in
that sounds
voices.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like a maniacal laugh or something.
Yeah, there's
a
pretty high-pitched maniacal laugh that I've done for a few things that they really wanted. Like, they wanted either, like, the really low sort of, like, you know.
Whoa.
Like that sort of thing.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And then, well, I got a lot of practice at that back home. There's a theme park called Enchanted Forest, and I used to sit in the haunted house for 8 hours a day. And I press all the buttons to make all the stuff move, or like.
So this was your job. You weren't just doing this for fun.
Yeah, no, okay. This is my job. I worked there also in the children's.
Just checking.
Yeah, I worked there also mainly. My main job was working in the children's theater, and we did like physical comedy shows where I got to sing and dance and run into walls and do flips and all sorts of stupid stuff. And
that sounds like fun.
And my favorite part is doing the splits. Do the splits for everybody, like, you know, make all the guys in the audience cringe. But then, like, on my days off or like in between shows, I go down to the haunted house and grab the mic and I just sit there and do laughs, like, you know, because it'd be broadcast all over the whole Hunchaw Haunted House and stuff like that. And it was just, it was creepy. Aww. High-pitched creepy laughs and, like, you know, like Joker-type laughs. My favorite laugh that I like to imitate is the Joker that Mark Hamill plays, like, in the Batman cartoons.
Okay.
And like, it, just because I think he's, before Heath Ledger, I thought he was the best version of the Joker, and his laugh just cracked me up because he's just such a happy guy when he's just doing it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, how he talks, like, he'll be talking and, like, he'll laugh, like, right in the middle of talking and stuff like that. It just mm-hmm. makes me laugh.
Give us an example of that one.
That one? All right. It's, like...
Uh-oh, he's backing up.
Well, it's pretty high-pitched. I don't want to hurt anybody's ears. But, yeah, it starts... He always starts low, too, and it starts kind of low, and she's like...
Oh my God.
We get the idea. Boy.
Wow.
That was loud.
Yeah.
You do have a set of pipes on you, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you smoke or anything?
You know. I dabble. No, I try not. I just quit because my cousin the other day told me not to. And he's an animator over at Disney, and he's the voice of Donald Duck.
Oh, cool.
And he's like, you need to quit that smoking shit. And I was like, what do you mean? Because I wouldn't smoke around him. He's like, I can tell in your voice. You got a low voice.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, and I was like, all right. And I haven't really smoked in the last year and a half anyway, but.
Good for you.
Yeah, I quit when I came down here because, like, I came down here and the first 3 weeks I was here, I had a sore throat because of how dirty the air was.
Oh, I know.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Really? I'm from Oregon. It rains, like, 9 months out of the year, so the air is always really clean.
That's true. Yeah, we get no rain and it never gets clean. Yeah.
It's awesome when it does rain down here, though, because, like, I'll go outside, like, afterwards for, like, a half hour and just stand outside and be like...
Mm-hmm. I know. I do the same thing. I love it when it rains here.
And we don't get a lot, you know. We really don't get a lot. And I love rain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you get rain, it never really lasts, you know. It comes in for a few hours and it's gone, you know. Sometimes you'll get like a day or two.
Everything floods. My street, the two times it's like rain for a couple of days consecutively down here, my street's always flooding.
I know. Uh-oh. I know, yeah. That's the way it is. But all in all, I think we have better weather than anywhere, you know. So
yeah, it's nice.
It's pretty cool.
I don't know. I think Colorado rivals us.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Colorado's got the best weather in the world.
It gets very cold, doesn't it?
It doesn't get that cold over there. I mean, you'll have a huge snowstorm, and then all of a sudden, as soon as the snow finishes, all of a sudden the sun will come out, and it'll be the most beautiful, like, wonderful day in the world. And you're just like, I love Colorado.
Sounds cool.
You're from Colorado?
No, from New York, but I lived in Colorado for a while.
Very nice.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Very nice.
My daughter sent me some pictures from her university. Remember I told you it's in the woods? So she took pictures from the woods. Amazing, Susie. Just friggin' amazing.
Are you going to go up and visit her?
Eventually, yes.
When she invites you, baby steps.
But you talk about nice places, and it got me to think of that, because it's really beautiful trees and all that. I mean, can you imagine like a college right in the middle of the woods, you know? That'd be awesome.
Where'd she go to school?
Up north.
Sounds great. Get some mushrooms, Oregon. And I'd have a grand old time.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Not really. Okay, never mind. So, anyway.
So, what other impressions can you do? Can you do Jack Nicholson? Everybody does Jack Nicholson.
I've never actually tried, you know? Like, it's just one of those things. I think that the closest I could probably give you is, like, Rob Williams' impersonation that he does in Aladdin, because that was one of those voices, even as a kid, because Aladdin's my favorite Disney movie ever. And because Robin Williams' energy, and it was just, like, that was one of those things as a little kid that I was like, God, that's so cool.
Yeah. Wait, Robin Williams was...
The genie in Aladdin.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. As a little kid, I always used to do that line. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. But when he turns into Jack Nicholson and he goes, all right, listen up, Sparky. You want to get the girl, you got to be a straight shooter, see? You know? And then, like, that's the only thing I.
That's pretty good, actually. You should develop that one.
Yeah.
So that's probably. Robin Williams doing Jack Nicholson. Wait, so that's Bentley doing Robin Williams doing Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a very good cavalcade of fun right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a little break. I got to run to the restroom, really. And okay? Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Susie some mushrooms while you're out.
Yeah, I'll get you some mushrooms on the way.
I have to go to class. It won't be good for biology class later on.
Yeah. All right, so stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Want a big pizza to solve your hunger equation? Then try Domino's Pie R-Squared Pizza Deal. It's big. How big? Take, for example, our large 14-inch Meatza Fest. Just divide the diameter by 2. That gives you the radius of 7. Next, square that number to 49 and multiply by 3.1459265, and you've calculated the exact area of cheesy goodness. And delivery is fast. How fast? If you call a Domino's location 7.4 miles from your home at 6:47 p.m. and the driver travels at an average speed of 37.6 miles per hour, allowing for an average baking time of 8.39 minutes at 300 degrees centigrade with a superconductivity of 27 degrees Kelvin, it's easy to see. You'll be eating in no time with Domino's Pi R-Squared Pizza Deal. Access the frontal gateway of your domestic dwelling. It's Domino's.
Found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Borat again. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Can you do Borat? Have you ever tried?
I've never actually really tried, just because everybody was doing it. But you know, listening to him, like if I listen to him talk, I could probably do it. You know, like yeah. He's like, whenever I have internet connection, I cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. Yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, first time. Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Swinging and connect.
Yeah. On the break, I was telling him how Frank Stallone, since he was doing Sylvester, Frank Stallone used to play at the Malibu Inn when I bartended up there. Uh-huh. And the very first time that Frank Stallone came in, he went up to my friend Jason, who was the supervisor, and he was like, Jason, you know, I can't do the impression, obviously, but he was saying that he needs to have a back room with a couch for a... because at night after the show, he turns into Frankie Stinkfingers. How disgusting is that? And I'm just like, what? Like, oh my God. But so then, like, that funny. Night, his mom actually showed up to do or to watch the show. Uh-huh. And so we used to move all the tables because I don't know where we had the show at night. It was a restaurant during the day.
Yeah.
So
is that his mom, Jackie Stallone?
Yes.
She's really weird. She used to come on Howard Stern all the time. That's how
she
I know.
She read asses. She read ass imprints.
Yes.
She's a total freak. But so she refused to move. Like, she wouldn't let us move her table, like, out from, like, center of, like, you know, the, I don't know, wherever people are supposed to be dancing and enjoying the show.
Right.
So she's sitting there, like, with her plate and her forks and knives in front of her. And all of a sudden, people started standing in front of the table to, like, get closer to the band. And she starts screaming. She's like, oh, my God, that's my son. Get out of the way. She couldn't, like, she couldn't see her son anymore. So she starts throwing forks and knives at the people in the audience that are, like, there paying to see her son. And she's wearing this turban on her head.
Yeah.
And you were just doing that imitation
she's
before of her.
She's fucking whacked out of her brain,
man,
you know.
Funny.
Oh God, she's a crackhead.
I was just saying that, like, I would imagine that everybody in the Stallone family sounds exactly the same.
Probably.
You know, like it's like Frank and Sylvester and their mom sitting around or whatever, and he's just like, hey, oh Frank, so your band playing up in Malibu tonight. Maybe you induce me that waitress Susie you always talking about. It's like, yo, Sylvester, totally. I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's gonna be a good thing though, Frankie. I mean, I think, and then you just hear, hey, Frankie! Sylvester, Frankie! What? I can't see my son! Give me the fork! You know, I'm just throwing the... Yeah. Oh, God, this woman just threw a fork and it stuck in my ass. What the... Hey, yo, Mom, you're throwing forks at everybody. Yeah, I told you... Ah, oh, God, Mom, don't throw the fork at me. It's sticking to my arm. What are you doing? Big movie star.
Yeah. You got that one dead on, man. Stallone is good.
God.
What? Do you have any one or two others that you're really good at, that you like?
Yeah, there's actually something that I do. I do Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
And he was actually one of the first ones I ever tried doing, like, that was an adult voice that I tried doing. I think I was, like, 10 or 11, and I did it because my mom watched one of his movies once. It was on TV. It was Bloodsport, because he used to play it on TBS, like, every
Your mom's watching this.
Well, you know,
he's a
good-looking guy, you know, back in the Bloodsport days. Full head of hair, tight tan, you know, sweaty body.
Ooh.
And well,
yeah,
it's not the tight pale hairy body that I have. I know, but so. He's something that I always tried doing and just sort of slowly started doing, and then he turned into something we do like on stage or something like that. Like we performed last week and we did Van Damme being interviewed, and there's this company I'm going to do this short film with called Van Damme's Cooking Kitchen. It's like it's like if he had a cooking show, like on TLC is what I say the network is.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Van Damme's sleazy. I have to take off my glasses where you can see the Van Damme's super sleazy. He's always just sitting around and he's just like good afternoon, Sam, Susie, thank you for having me on the LA Talk Radio. Today I'd like to promote my new project. We're going to call it Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme's Cooking Kitchen. It's going to be on TLC. It's going to be A-OK.
Yeah.
So I was...
that's pretty good.
How was your day?
Yeah. How was my day?
How's your day been so far?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good, yeah.
Very good. Did you know I'm from Belgium?
Really?
Yes, they used to call me the muscles from Brussels.
Oh, wow. Now, you knew karate, too, right? Do you still know martial arts?
Do I still... oh, me or him? Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're Van Damme, so I'm talking to you as Van Damme.
Sorry, my bad. let me go back in split personality mode. I receive a black belt. I take karate because, bigger kids pick on me. And then I start doing weightlifting. And actually, I get big break. I'm waiting table, restaurant. I see movie producer. I go over and do a spin kick to face. He's impressed. 2 weeks later, I'm working on Bloodsport.
Wow. Amazing.
Which is actually true.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's actually how he got Bloodsport.
He went over and kicked a producer in the face?
Yeah, he was at some restaurant or something like that, and he was busting tables or he was waiting or something like that, and he saw some guy and he knew who he was, and so he went over. He's like, "Hey, I think we should make a movie together or something like that." And then the guy's like, "Well, what can you do, kid?" And Van Damme just did his famous thing where he's just like, and just stuck it right in his face.
Ah.
And the guy's like, "Oh shit! All right, well." Cool. Yeah, come on into the office. We'll figure something out. Yeah, and then they used Bloodsport as his vehicle, but that actually came out second. He had this other movie where he played a bad guy because, 80s was big on martial arts movies and stuff like that. It was something Eagle. I don't remember.
Mm. Yeah. His movies are not that memorable, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen one, actually.
Really?
I own 27 of them.
Really?
He's done 27 of them?
He's actually done almost 40 now.
Wow.
Yeah. All my new movies, they're going straight to DVD, but it's, it's still, I get to make movie, make action, it's going to be good time, I think.
Yeah. Do you remember, I remember one movie of his, it was in Louisiana or something, and they were hunting people.
Hard Target.
Yeah, Hard Target.
Hard Target, and he had a big old, curly mullet.
Yeah, it's like you pay money, these guys would pay money, and they get into this game where they get to chase actual people and hunt them down.
Oh, that's an old book.
Yeah, that's an old book. Basically, they stole a story from it.
Yeah.
And they're using all ex-army, or military personnel because they should be,
able to
survive better or whatever, they're all just like hobos are pulling off the street.
Oh, no.
And some girl's dad goes missing who was a military hobo on the street, and she's some classy broad, driving a Mustang or something, and Van Damme has to, save her initially, and he's got tight jeans, one of those three-quarter length in fucking trench coats that he has the arms rolled up on.
Yeah.
A day-old stubble and a just greasy, curly-haired mullet, and he's just walking around with a toothpick.
Oh, that sounds so sexy.
Yeah, and he's just kicking guys, and another...
He's very handsome, though, don't you think?
I don't know.
Back in the
day... You don't even know who he is.
Maybe if I saw a picture.
Yeah. I knew she didn't know it.
I know the name.
Well, you got a computer right there. You should check it out.
Yeah, he's...
This internet's actually not working.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well...
We'll deal with that later.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, because he's a very good-looking man. But yeah, and then Wilford Brimley's also in that movie. The interesting... And then John Woo actually directed that movie, and if you watch the big-in fight scene in that movie... Where who he's battling is the guy who the bald guy who ends up playing the mummy in the mummy movies or whatever.
Yeah.
The battle scene, the end battle scene that John Woo does is virtually there's so many elements that are virtually identical to his movie Face Off with Nick Cage and John Travolta.
Right.
Tons of same shots. It's really, really
They're
creepy.
They're all the same. Mm-hmm. All these action movies are all the same.
This is pretty creepy that all the Van Damme movies like this.
Well, no, it's just one of those weird things where you recognize things. And it's that's how I associate everything. I'm not one of those people that remembers people's names well or anything, which is why I keep saying your name a lot. Because otherwise I'll forget. Which is why I didn't say your name for the first 15 minutes.
I know, you called me the girl with the broken heart.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway, we do have to wrap up quickly. Sure. Do you have a MySpace, a website you want to send people to?
Yeah, myspace.com/CaptainBentley. And
Captain Bentley.
CaptainBentley. And you can check out my voice reel there. You can check out a song called Fuck Christmas that I wrote and performed the instruments on, except for the guitar solo. And then also, if you want to see me play Batman in a superhero short film, it's a comedy short film, it's called Super Poker.
Right.
And you can look it up on YouTube, and we posted it the 20th, and it's got 47,000 hits already.
Wow.
Nice.
So it's doing pretty well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
And so thank you very much, Bentley, for coming in.
Absolutely. You're definitely
very talented. We wish you all the best. And so you've only been here about a year and a half, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you with LA. I mean, obviously, you're doing well. So thanks very much. So that's good. Susie, thank you so much once again for being beautiful and cute and funny and everything.
and being on time.
And on time, just about. All right, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.